Hi, my sweets. I'm Barbie Jean, your host, and welcome back to Sweet Release. Today, I'm so excited. Guess what day it is? Time for an AMA. I love these episodes. I know you guys love these episodes. We have a lot of juicy questions today, from kinks to relationship advice to my personal sex stories, you know, all of it. So I'm excited to dive in. Let's do it. Welcome to Sweet Release Podcast with me, Barbie Jean. Okay, to start, cringe or sexy? Men wearing leopard print briefs. Ooh, I say sexy. Own it with confidence. It's only cringe if it's like over the top and it doesn't resonate with you, and if it's not you being authentically you, like if you're just trying to impress or you know, you're just trying to be somebody that you're not or to dress like something you're not, like that is when it's going to be cringy. But it is confident when you rock your style and when you own it with confidence. Yes, that's so sexy. And I love leopard print. I love big cat energy. But I think most people, like if they see you rocking some leopard briefs, they're going to be like, rawr, yum, like delicious. Own the jungle and just be yourself, you know? Okay, next, why is it acceptable for women to wear leather pants in public but tacky for guys? Okay, so I think it's not tacky. You know, for guys, maybe it is viewed as kind of this, you know, over the top, again, like these leopard briefs, or even you're trying to emulate this, you know, this bad boy stereotype. Like, yeah, I can see where that could be, you know, off-putting to some people that aren't into uniqueness and fashion. But to me, I think men wearing leather pants is sexy. Again, if you're owning it, if it's authentically you, if it feels good, if you feel good in them, people are going to notice when you feel really good in what you're wearing. And that's just going to vibe off of you. And they're going to be like, damn, like you're rocking those pants, you're rocking those briefs. So again, I say just rock what feels right and try not to care about, you know, the world. And I think, again, that's kind of like these gender norms that are becoming outdated anyways. So I would say just rock it and let the world catch up, you know? Okay, next. So you started having sex in high school. When did you start craving cock? I feel like I was craving it in high school. I mean, not in my first relationship, but in my second high school relationship, man, I was definitely craving it. I had this group chat on Facebook. And it was with my girlfriends in high school. We called ourselves the Fab Five. And we named it We Love Dick. And it was all capitalized with multiple K's. And yeah, it was a chat where, yeah, we were talking raunchy all the time. We were also talking about like, okay, where are we going to go for our free period? We're going to go hang out at McDonald's, you know? Oh, hi, Dexie. Sorry, my little kitty's meowing over there. I locked him in here. Come here, Dex. Come here. So yeah, I was definitely craving it. I think it's definitely gone in a different direction as I've aged. Like I think it's gone in waves, and I think I crave it at different times, or I crave different styles of connection and intimacy, or I crave like oral more lately, or you know, I think there's just different energies and different shifts, and everyone's on their own kind of timeline of intimacy and what we crave. But I will say from a young age, I was definitely craving it. I was definitely interested in exploring and trying new things. And it was something that I felt really, like it was something that I valued at definitely from like 17. It was something that I definitely valued and appreciated and wanted partnerships that where it was a prominent part of our relationship, you know? And so, yeah, thanks for asking. Next, has there ever been a time in your life when you just got tired of having sex, like an abstinence period? So I actually talked about this with my bestie Danny in our episode a couple weeks ago. And we were kind of sharing about, you know, how the healing journey is so different for everyone, but also how important it is to heal and let go. And we were talking about how often women and men too, you know, we go through these periods where we're like, fuck this, like I need to just not fuck, or I want to fuck the opposite sex, you know, if we're queer or interested in both. Or yeah, like you want to go through a time where maybe all you want to do is have sex And that's kind of what I was resonating with more, is like in these times of heartache and depression and confusion, or, you know, even times where I was like in between jobs, like I did lean on pleasure. I did lean on connection. I leaned on intimacy in those moments. And I think a lot of people might put it at arm's length and be like, okay, I need to focus on myself. I need to focus on, you know, stay focused and also, you know, maybe reconnect with myself. But for me, if I wasn't connecting with other people, I was definitely having a pleasure experiences with myself, to the point where there was a time when I feel like I was almost overdoing it. So I won't say like my way is the most healthy way, but in my life, in my experiences in my 20s, when I was going through heartache, when I was in long distance relationships and I wasn't feeling like my needs were even being met, and I was in open relationships, I was often connecting with other people or on my roster, and I was making sure that I was feeling good in the bedroom, or I was buying toys and trying new things. And granted, I was exploring pretty heavily and going to parties and exploring at kink dungeons and things like that. And so I will say like my path is a lot different than some people's, but yeah, I was not going through abstinent periods. My abstinent periods were maybe like 3 or 4. Maybe 5 weeks tops. Like it was, and yeah, maybe for me, like that was sometimes I'd be like, you know what? I need a break. Like, and sometimes I would have sex with people and afterwards it didn't feel right. And so I'd be like, why did I even do that? You know, did I really need that? And so it was a time where sometimes I would reevaluate, but there were a lot of really awesome guys that I had throughout my singlehood and even in my open relationships where they were like friends, or they were guys that really respected me in my relationship. But they were also like always there to like fuck me when I wanted it. You know what I mean? So I definitely leaned on connection more than abstinence in my experience. But thanks for asking. I think both are great. And I think also you need to give yourself sometimes breaks. And I will say, when I went through some like assault experiences, like those were times where it was hard for me to connect physically with my partner or with other people. But again, like when I found that connection with myself, or when I was able to like reconnect with people after maybe just like a couple weeks, then it felt really good to reclaim that power and reclaim that part of me that I just value so much. And it feels so good. My gosh, speaking of abstinence, like I was sick again. And so my partner and I hadn't had sex until today, like a couple hours ago. And I just got back from the beach, hence my bikini. But right before I was about to leave for the beach, and I was kind of setting up for the shoot to do after I met up with my friend, my man was like, what are you doing? And I was like, oh, I'm going to the beach to meet my girlfriend, and then I'm going to shoot, blah, blah, blah. And he was like, well, can we finally like put in some time and have some sexy time? Because I was sick and I just haven't been feeling well, and my throat's been hurting, and I just do not like things in my throat when my throat's sore. And inside me either, like I just haven't been feeling it. And so finally I still didn't want him in my throat. So he went down on me, which was lovely. But yeah, we did that. And then, yeah, so I guess speaking of sweet releases, that was my last sweet release. It was fabulous. But my point is that, you know, even those 2 weeks of a break, like it's almost like when you finally do have that person again, or even if it's not a partner, when you finally reconnect with someone, it's like, oh my God, for me, I'm like, I'm home. Like you're inside me. And I feel like, oh, it just feels so amazing. And I just feel like it is my special sweet spot that I love going back to, even though it's been a couple weeks. I'm like, oh, I can't wait to get back. Can't wait to get back. Okay. Next, please answer this once and for all. What is the ideal length for men's shorts? I say 5 inches is the sweet spot. 5 inches is nice. I love when men are showing their thighs. Like, I just love to see that skin. Short shorts on men and women, I fully support you. I was actually shopping for my man because we're going to be in Cabo next week, and I was looking at 7-inch shorts. They haven't arrived yet, so I hope that's a good length, but I feel like 5 inches is nice. Like, that's short. I think, again, like, rock the leopard print briefs, rock the leather pants and rock the 5-inch shorts. If that's something that makes you feel good, do it. I love it. Okay, next. Hey, Barbie, I've always heard that women like confident men, but where do you draw the line between a confident man and an arrogant man? Yeah, good question. You know, I think confidence is sexy when it's authentic. And I think it's pretty easy to tell between authenticity and like arrogance. And I think arrogance also crosses the line when like the ego gets involved and it's almost like, you know, you think you're better than everyone or, you know, you're talking over people. For me, like when I've been on dates in the past and I've sensed like that arrogant nature, if it's not authentic and it's just like, you know, it doesn't feel good, then yeah, that person's not going to get a second date. But I think it is pretty easy to tell. And if you're ever feeling like you're unsure if you're being arrogant or confident, I would just say lean into what feels the most natural and also like check yourself and maybe ask people that you love before you go on a date and say like, hey, have I ever said anything that felt arrogant to you? And then you can like reevaluate if you are, you know, maybe authentically you are a little bit arrogant, but you need to like switch up your mindset a little bit. But I think too, if you're worried about always feeling like women love confidence and you need to be confident, I think what's also super sexy next to confidence is just, again, being authentic. So if you are nervous when you're going on this date or you're feeling like in your feels or, you know, you're feeling kind of, you know, scared or whatever the feelings are that feel natural and right for you, instead of trying to push and, you know, portray this confidence, it's really sexy when you're just honest and say like, oh my God, like I was really nervous to meet you, or I've been really like overthinking this, or, you know, it took me 20 minutes to get ready, or I mean, 20 minutes isn't like a long time, but, but you know what I mean? Like just being honest and being upfront about how you're feeling is also just as sexy as confidence. So yes, thanks for asking. Next. Hey, Barbie, I started seeing a girl recently, and although we've tried to have sex, she gets super anxious each time and locks up mentally and physically. What can I say or do to get her to relax and enjoy the moment? Ooh, yeah. Okay. So first, props for caring about her comfort. Like, go you. That's amazing. You know, often when we do lock up for or in these intimate moments, it's definitely because of like past experiences or trauma or even just not feeling confident, even speaking of confidence or pressure or even feeling unsafe. And so I would encourage you to have these conversations outside of the bedroom and continue reassuring her that like it's not about the act and you want her to feel safe. And what can you do to make her feel safe? Or maybe being curious and asking her questions like, has this been happening for many years? Like really trying to create a safe space for you to have these conversations and really just like slow down and get her to feel safe and comfortable. And in the intimate moments, ask and be like, is this okay? Like, can I do this? You know, make sure that she's guiding the experience for sure. Like, don't rush it and let her be kind of the flow, and don't push your energy too much. But when you do something different, make sure you're asking her, like, is this okay? Does this feel right? Like, or what do you want me to do next? Like, make sure that she's, you know, she's the one that's guiding the session. But also, I would almost focus on everything but penetration, you know, like focus on oral. And maybe the next few times you guys have intimate moments, like maybe it's just you going down on her, or maybe it's just you guys cuddling, like even massaging, you know, doing things that are going to make her feel like there's not pressure to perform, there's not pressure for penetration, and also just really being curious and asking her questions and having these conversations outside of the bedroom, I think could really help her feel safe and less anxious. Because you just never know when your body starts locking up, like that could be even just a response from something traumatic that happened to her in the past, or yeah, like just fear, or her body's trying to protect her. And so if you start making these steps to make her feel safe and to make her feel seen and heard, then she's only going to become more open and vulnerable for you. But great job on, you know, being so sweet and wanting to make her feel comfortable. Okay, next. Da-da-da-da-da. I have what I feel is a fucked up fantasy. Okay, first of all, it's not. It's not. But let's hear what it is. You may not have heard anything like this before. I want to get a blowjob while getting Grey Goose poured onto my cock occasionally. The girl will sip it and also spit it onto me and just hold the bottle while riding me. Your thoughts, LOL. Oh my God. I actually really love this. Like if my man came to me and says, like, I have this fantasy and I would love if you did this, I would be stoked. That sounds so much fun. First of all, it's so creative too. Like, oh, I love creative fantasies. I think this is so sexy. No judgment for sure. I can imagine why maybe you think it's kind of weird and fucked up. But to me, there is so many more wild, crazy shit in the world. This is very calm. And most women love to get a little wild. They love to ride. They love to drink. So I can imagine having a bottle and wanting it poured on you. Of course, be careful like of alcohol and sensitive spots. You know, I think you don't want it to get inside you guys. But that sounds like really fun. I honestly think you could have a lot of fun with that. I would definitely mention it to a lover whenever you feel safe and comfortable. I think that's something really fun, a date night that you guys could explore. And I think the more creative the fantasy is, the easier it is to even like do it. You know, when people come to their partners and they're like, oh, like I have this consensual non-consent fantasy, but they don't have like a vision and what they want, then it's more difficult for partners to really see it and understand it. But yours is so specific that it's like sensory play. It's also a little bit of power play. Like it's awesome and it's fun and it's playful. So I say like fantasies are meant to be time for play. And so I really want to hear about this. I hope you explore it with someone where, yeah, you feel fun and safe. And, you know, maybe it's someone you've been sleeping with casually, or yeah, maybe the next time you go on a date and you guys are in the bedroom and you're like, do you like vodka? How do you feel about drinking some and pouring it all over me? You know, like that's really sexy. Honestly, I think it's fun and I can't wait to hear all about it. Please share. Okay. Next. Hey, Barbie, I have a terrible habit of falling for girls who are in a relationship. Oof. Can you give me some advice for stopping this habit of torturing myself? Yeah, of course. So falling for unavailable people, often it's like for the thrill, or maybe you even have a fear of being vulnerable, or you're seeking these connections that aren't as vulnerable, or maybe you even want to be chosen and it's kind of like a competitive thing where you feel like, ooh, if I go for this person, maybe they'll leave that person and come to me. Or again, it's like this unattainable goal. And in our minds, we often like, I don't know, it's like part of that thrill where you kind of like are seeking something that you can't really reach. And that can be fun. It can be playful. Like I get it. I've been there for sure. But I would definitely recommend that you redirect your energy to self-discovery. Maybe journal next time you have these thoughts with somebody that's in a relationship. Maybe, you know, have these introspective moments where you can really think like, what is it that I'm seeking? Like, what am I really looking for? Am I really attracted to this person? Or is it because they're in a relationship? Is it because I don't want to be vulnerable? Is it because, you know, figure out what it is and really have these moments to discover more about yourself, right? Journal, have these moments where you even talk to a friend or a loved one, like really try to dissect what it is about these connections and these crushes that's like really fueling you and making you feel really excited. And set boundaries for yourself. Like next time you have this crush on someone that's taken, like be like, no, okay, I deserve someone that's available. They don't deserve me coming into that relationship, especially if it's closed. I mean, open relationships are a different story, but they don't deserve that clouded, you know, messiness. And you deserve someone that's available and open. So I would also prioritize seeking solo, single people at like your next hobby, fun thing that you're doing, or on dating apps, or really, prioritize single dates. And, you know, you might just be attracting a lot of people and you just have to like break this habit. Like, I think sometimes the universe really puts things in front of us multiple times until we like learn the lesson. And so I think this is also a moment for you to be like, oh, okay, It seems like this is just happening so much. Like, maybe I haven't learned this lesson yet. What is it that I'm supposed to learn? Again, like, take this as a time for you to discover something about yourself and to learn and grow and evolve and be better. That's my advice. Thanks for asking. God, I'm like covered in fur. animals, nonstop. Okay, last one. I have become so desensitized by porn blowjobs with eye contact that I feel when it happens in real life, I don't know how it will really feel. How fake or real is eye contact? Okay, so yes, porn definitely can set these high expectations. And I get that eye contact can be one of them. But eye contact in real life is, yeah, maybe it's messier, maybe it's more fleeting, for sure. Like, again, don't forget that this adult film industry content is, you know, there's all these cameras and they're like holding the shot. They might even be like AI generating this longer eye gaze. Like, who the hell knows? But it's not real. So if it's numbing you, if it's desensitizing you, then set a boundary, like take a break for sure. And maybe, you know, stop watching it for a time until you feel like you're back into your body and feeling more sensitive and into the senses like you were previously. You know, sometimes it's good to set boundaries when we start feeling disconnected. And that's really a good awareness too for you, even feeling like you're desensitized by it. Like, take a break, please. I definitely love eye contact, but I think there's also moments where people don't like it, or yeah, maybe it's a little more fleeting. Or even when my partner was going down on me earlier, like I would look at him for a little bit and then I would like look back up into like and like close my eyes and just like take in the moment. So I think like putting less pressure on the person that's going down on you to look at you is also, I think, good advice. And eye contact, when it's real and when it's passionate and what's actually happening in real life, like it is going to be more powerful. And so for you feeling like you don't know how it will really make you feel, like it's definitely going to make you feel even more powerful than when it's happening on the screen. Like when it's happening in real life, you're like, dang, like she's really looking at me. And maybe it's just for a few moments, but you can also grab her chin like nicely or even pull her hair, you know, obviously with all the consent and making sure that this is something that you like. You can like make her kind of redirect her face and her energy to be up at you. Or maybe even talking to your lover ahead of time and being like, oh my God, like eye contact really gets me. Most women like when you tell them what you like, especially if it's going to make it go quicker when you're down there for a long time. So, you know, our mouths get tired. And don't put pressure on the partner or lover. Like, don't have this expectation that like she's just going to be looking at you the whole time. Like, she might be wanting to look at your body. She might be wanting to close her eyes so she can feel really in the moment and just allow her tongue and her body to like do whatever feels right. Like, sometimes eyes open can make it a little bit more intense for some people. But I think like if that's something that really turns you on and that's something that you really love, like please like let your lovers know that. But don't have this expectation that like you're not going to feel good if the eye contact isn't there. I think when it does happen in real life, you're going to be like, damn, fuck, like that's way sexier than what I've been watching on the screen. And even if it's just a quick little eye connection moment, like that's going to be real and that's going to be really sweet. So I just, again, encourage you to set those boundaries and be real. Okay, well, I am going to stop there. And I already gave my sweet release story in the middle of this episode. So there you go. And I'm actually, my sister, my twin, my beautiful, lovely sissy is getting married next week. So I am taking a week off. Yay. I'm going to be in Mexico. I can't wait. But I'll see you in 2 weeks. And I have a fun episode that I'll be airing in 2 weeks. That's going to be great. But yeah, I'm so excited for being here and back with another delicious, juicy AMA episode. Please continue being sweet to yourself, being sweet to your lovers, being sweet to these organic and messy conversations that come up. Like, it's totally natural. And just continuing to be yourself is just so important. Be authentic, be you. And as always, be sweet and welcome those sweet releases. Please welcome them. Even if it's been a few weeks, even if it's been a few months, please take time to prioritize your pleasure if it feels right for you. Okay. Thanks again for tuning in, my sweets. I'll see you next time. Much love.